You know that we love our on-demand listeners here at Lutheran Public Radio. Now, if you've enjoyed listening to Issues Etc. in 2008, please consider making a year-end gift to help support this worldwide outreach. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or you can contribute by check. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio and mail it to LPR Box 1046, SJC, California, 92693. LPR Box 1046, SJC, California, 92693. Thanks for listening, and thanks for thinking of us as we approach the end of 2008.
We don't think religion belongs in the Capitol, and we don't think irreligion belongs in the Capitol. We would take our sign down if they took the manger and the other signs down.
This tree continues our commitment that I started when I became Speaker, the greening of the Capitol to fight global warming.
At this season of the winter solstice, may reason prevail.
Do you think the tree symbolizes anything as far as Christmas and the birth of Christ?
Yes, I do. I do. I call it a Christmas tree.
A new holiday was born. A Festivus for the rest of us.
Our message is meant to represent the views of those who are not religious. There aren't any gods.
I don't know what Jeff and Craig call it. I call it Interactive Friday, but I think they have a different name for it. What, Don't Come to Work Friday, one of those kind of things. On Fridays on Issues Etc., we spend the first hour with you, our listeners, in many and various ways. We start out with some listener email, responding to some of the email, much of the email that we receive. We receive too much to respond to each one, but we try and reserve some time on Friday to respond to some of our listeners' email. Then we play Issues Etc. blog of the week, where we're reading your blogs, what you're writing about, and Jeff will have his pick. I'll have my pick a little bit later on this Friday afternoon. Issues Etc. soundbite of the week. Go to our website right now, issuesetc.org, if you can, and click the on-demand page under Thursday's audio. You'll find our four soundbites for this week. You get to pick which one you think ought to be the Issues Etc. soundbite this week by simply emailing us. There's a link right there, issuesetc.org under demand, on demand. Talk back at issuesetc.org. Or if you want to listen and then wait to call in about a half hour, we'll be playing Issues Etc. soundbite of the week, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. And phone callers who play Issues Etc. soundbite of the week get top priority. Remember that phone number, because in the second hour, we're going to be talking with Mark Tooley about Richard Cizik's resignation yesterday from the National Association of Evangelicals. And then I want to know what your favorite Christmas movie is. I mean, it's we're coming up on the season, aren't we? And you're probably reaching into the DVD vault and pulling out things like It's a Wonderful Life or A Christmas Story or Elf or Scrooged or any of those. I want to know what's your favorite Christmas movie and why. We'll be talking with Brian Gadawa, a screenwriter in Southern California, about Christmas movie classics, what he thinks makes them good, not just for the holiday, but good films. And then we'll talk about some Christmas movies that are out in the theaters right now. 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE, or talk back at issuesetc.org.
Paul, we'll begin with Paul in Milford Center, Ohio. First of all, thank you for your show. I podcast and am usually a few weeks behind, but always get a great deal out of listening. You have been a great encouragement to me and have helped me to grow in faith and knowledge of Scripture. I am very grateful to you. Speaking of podcasting, as I mentioned, I'm always a few weeks behind and was just listening to your critique of the pastor in Dallas with his 7-day sex challenge. There was something that he said that seemed to coincide with something that I have noticed from evangelicals in general, and that is an overemphasis on, quote, relationship, end quote. A few examples. First, just to be aware of what my parishioners might be reading, and since it was on the New York Times bestseller list, I picked up a copy of The Shack. I hated the book from all aspects. Don't get me started. One thing I noticed was the big deal for the main character was that he be in relationship with God. The whole book seems centered around the relationship or perhaps interpersonal connection and interaction with God and with others. Two, was in a meeting with other pastors and one rejoiced in the fact that a woman from his flock who was struggling with personal issues could identify the presence of Jesus in her life because of her relationship with her child. I know Jesus is with me because I can see him in my son, she said. 3, the pastor in Dallas, Ed Young, I think I remember him even commenting on how this sex challenge was going to heal relationships. It seems that relationship has become the gospel. Christians can talk about relationships in a useful way. After we have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus and because he has removed our sin, we are now in a right relationship with God. However, the evangelicals want to get right to the relationship without ever talking about the cross, and they get so hung up on the relationship that every aspect of every relationship can take the place of the gospel. Just a few thoughts. What do you think? That's Paul in Milford Center, Ohio.
Wow, that is brilliant. We do have the smartest listeners in radio. There's no doubt about it. Why don't we get, what's Paul's name? You said Paul in Milford.
He's a pastor in Milford Center.
Let's
Paul
get him
Schleter.
On. Did he have his contact information on there? Because that's an episode of the show. And it's insightful. Many have noted that what we've done is turned Jesus into, some people have said Jesus is my boyfriend. I think more often than not, Jesus is kind of a girlfriend in modern American evangelicalism. But again, the emphasis is on the relationship. Notice that when the Bible talks about Jesus and gives him titles, not in each and every case, but more often than not, it is not a title that denotes a relationship. Although relationship is important, this really is a new relationship with God that he forges with us through the blood of Jesus Christ. But it's a relationship that God initiates, that God maintains, that God, it's God's idea, not ours. And it's far more about how God is disposed toward us than how we're disposed toward him. But think about it. When the Bible describes Jesus, Savior, King, Redeemer, Rescuer, Sacrifice, Reconciler, those titles all have to do with what Jesus does, not how you feel about him, not how you think about him, and not the kind of relationship you have with him. It's about the things that he does. These are concrete titles. Even his name means he saves. It's all about what he does. And when we take the relationship, especially the way we perceive the relationship, and substitute that for what Jesus objectively has done, does do for us as our Savior, our King, our Redeemer, our Reconciler, then we have replaced the gospel with relationship. Very good email.
It's Ruthie in St. Louis. She says, this is a follow-up to my question yesterday on the wiggle room Lutherans have with waiting to baptize a baby. According to your guest, Dr. Andrew Das, a baby doesn't need to be baptized to be saved. He said that fear comes from the law, not from God. I listened to the program again, but I cannot go back a third time to just my question without listening to the whole 40 minutes again. This is contrary to what was taught to me by many Lutheran pastors, but whatever. They told me if a baby dies before baptism, then we are unsure of where they are. We would hope that God would have mercy and accept the baby. So why aren't Hindu and Muslim babies saved? I was always taught in my evangelical church that all babies were saved, regardless of their parents' faith. So your guest believes Christian babies are saved even without baptism. So how about Hindu, Muslim, atheist, etc. babies? How long could Christian parents go without baptizing their infants? 6 months? 1 year? 2 years? 6 years? When does it become a sin to wait too long? Or could a parent wait until a child asks to be baptized? Feel free to edit my question. She says, I have a babe in my arms as I'm typing this, so I can't write as much as I would like. Thanks, Ruthie in St. Louis.
Ruthie, thank you very much. First of all, let's correct the record here. Dr. Das did not say, and I'm certain would not say, that babies are saved apart from baptism. His response to her question about, and her concern, which is a very good concern, about Christian parents who blithely wait to baptize their babies, weeks, months, sometimes years. It's a legitimate concern, and I think Dr. Das, I certainly share it, I'm sure Dr. Das does as well. What Dr. Das was warning against was this notion, this idea driven by fear, that if we don't baptize the baby immediately, we're putting it in somehow, you know, God isn't going to somehow preserve this child until the waters of holy baptism. That's our prayer always. For newborn babies, that mother and child will be preserved until the waters of holy baptism. Because the goal here, once the baby is born, is to baptize that baby. Once the baby's born, the whole agenda is about rebirth, being born again. So I would counsel against waiting for baptism, if at all possible. But if someone says, well, okay, we're going to wait a week and here are our reasons, and they can do this in good conscience, and they are praying that God would preserve this child into the waters of holy baptism, I don't think we can bind consciences in that regard. What Dr. Das was saying is, when we, our anxiousness for baptism shouldn't be driven by fear, but by the goodness of the gift that baptism is. And look, the Bible is quite clear here. All who perish apart from Christ perish eternally, regardless of their age. And the only way the Bible has told us with sure certainty that these infants gain entrance into the kingdom of heaven is through the water of holy baptism. You would say, well, what happens to a baby then before it, if it dies before it's baptized? The Bible doesn't tell us. The Bible says that all who perish apart from Christ perish eternally, that baptism is the means by which we are connected to Christ's death and resurrection. The Bible does also say that the same God who created this baby is the same God who redeemed this baby through the blood of Jesus Christ by sending him into the world to be our Savior. So what do? We don't try and answer the question. We pray that God would be merciful. She mentioned atheist babies. Ruthie, they're all atheist babies. We all come out of the womb atheist, idolaters, and heathens. But it's a very good concern. But I would correct, Dr. Das did not say that children are saved apart from baptism. We're listening to some of, we're listening to Jeff read some of your email. We got to give one to Craig, at least, occasionally, to read, if he can keep himself controlled over there. But Craig's got to worry about pressing buttons right now. When we come back, more listener email, then Issues Etc. blog of the week, and then Issues Etc. soundbite of the week. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's Friday, December the 12th. You're listening to Issues Etc. Stay tuned.
Historic liturgy, cool. Liturgical dance, not cool. Kneeling for the Lord's body and blood on a Sunday morning, cool. Sitting in your theater-style seat with couple if you're a double mocha latte, not cool. We're the Brothers of John the Steadfast. If you're interested in traditional Lutheran doctrine and practice, check us out. www.steadfastlutherans.com.
Here's an easy way for you to publicize Issues Etc. at your church. Go to the promote page of our website, issuesetc.org, and you'll find a short paragraph to include in your weekly church bulletin. Help inform your fellow parishioners about Issues Etc. issuesetc.org. Click promote and copy and paste the text for your church secretary or pastor to include each week in the Sunday bulletin. We update this paragraph weekly. Go to the promote page of our website, issuesetc.org.
Listen to what you want, when you want. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Celebrate with gifts that illuminate the message of the holiday season from Concordia Publishing House. Click cph.org to shop a wide selection of books, home decor, and seasonal gifts, and find the perfect present for everyone on your list. And throughout December, purchase a children's Christmas book online or in our bookstore, and Concordia will donate a Christmas book to a local children's charity. Gifts with a message and a meaning. From Concordia Publishing House, believe in the wonder.
On behalf of the staff of Issues Etc., thanks to each and every one of the more than 7,600 who signed the online petition to bring back Issues Etc. James Reed, Pastor Kerry Larson, Roberta Kepley, Bruce Kelly, Kimbria Kupfer, David and Kendi Bessing, John Zuhone, Nathan Prang, Eric Herman, and Tanya Alliger. Thanks for your support.
What is this repentance of which the scriptures speak? It's like a lost coin. It's like a lost sheep. You know, what can a coin or a sheep do to find their way back?
If you vacate the divine in the sacraments, there's only one place to go, and that's towards the human, or something that the human being must do.
non-denominational churches, they're in the category of all those people who deny that they're in a category. They are bound together by their refusal to bind together.
Jesus is a king that is unlike any other king. He died so we may live. He gave up everything and to the world seemed to be a terrible king.
Just a little preview of our Issues Etc. sound bites for this week. You get to pick which one of those is going to be the Issues Etc. sound bite of the week here in about 10-15 minutes by giving us a call, 1-877-623-6943. It's Friday afternoon, the 12th of December. Or emailing us, talkback@issuesetc.org. When you call or email, make sure you tell us which of the sound bites you think should be the Issues Etc. sound bite of the week and why. And phone callers get top priority in the voting. We simply count their votes first. Their votes don't count more. We're not about proportional representation here. Everybody's vote counts the same. We just count the phone callers first because they're kind enough to give us a call. 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE.
You got a busy weekend this weekend, don't you?
I do.
Well, you got Emma's got a big day tomorrow.
Yeah, she's taking the ACT tomorrow, which makes me feel like I'm about 1,000 years old.
You get nervous? Aren't you nervous about that?
No. Well, it may just be me, but having a teenagers in the house has rid me of all nervousness. Although I will say last night I was extremely nervous. I won't say why, but I was for the first time in my life in a long time struck with abject terror. But it was resolved.
I get nervous when my kids take like a spelling test.
You're going to have to lighten up.
Well, actually, spelling or not, because, I mean, that's easy to memorize. But like a math test or a social studies test. I mean, you talk about basketball
games. No, you have got to lighten up. You've got four kids. You've got a long way to go. You're going to have to pace yourself.
Speaking of basketball, Craig hasn't said anything about his beloved Collinsville Kayhawks losing last Friday night to my much superior Edwardsville Tigers at Fletcher Gymnasium on the road at Craig's alma mater. Not a word.
Not a word. In fact, he's just sitting there, shaking his head, saying nothing whatsoever.
And I don't see the news story from the Belleville News Democrat here at the office of the Lutheran Public Radio like the football game, Edwardsville Collinsville game.
Well, don't worry. There's plenty of room on that wall for plenty of news stories in the future.
By the way, Randy Moore Repair Service lost by 2 Wednesday night.
Yeah, what did they do? They did a box and one on you guys, didn't they?
Yeah, my son scored 17 points, you know, in the last week in a game. It's fourth grade league. So they obviously scouted, and they played a box and one, which means one guy follows Justin around, JJ around, and the other four play zone defense. So if Justin gets by the guy playing in man-to-man, he's still got four other guys to get around. So he only had 5 points, and we lost.
Well, the solution to that, before you get back to that email.
Not play him?
No. You did full court press, man.
You can't. It's against the rules. Believe me, we've thought about it. We've thought about it. Especially after the coach and the other team, they won kind of like last-second shot, was jumping up and down like a giddy high school cheerleader, which brought out the old Adam and me, but that's...
Yeah, what doesn't?
That's true. All right, this is Nathan in Lafayette, Indiana. He said, I'm listening to your Wednesday, December 10th segment with Eric Rotman, and I'm very disappointed once again in the way Calvinists are presented on your show. I'll just take one example. Where do the Calvinists place their certainty of salvation? According to the guests, the answer for the Calvinists must ultimately depend upon self-reflection on a person's faith, and that somehow the extent of the atonement. However, the Westminster Confession of Faith says in chapter 14, sections 1 and 3 that, and I'm quoting here, the grace of faith, there must be a pause in there, something missing, is the work of the Spirit and is ordinarily wrought by the ministry of the Word, by which also and by the administration of the sacraments and prayer is increased and strengthened. This faith is different in degrees, weak or strong, may be often in many ways assailed and weakened, but gets the victory, growing up in many to the attainment of a full assurance through Christ, who is both the author and finisher of our faith. Nathan concludes, it certainly doesn't seem to me that either Calvin or the Westminster Confession of Faith are pointing believers to themselves, but to Christ and his word and his sacraments. Am I missing something here that only you guys seem to get? It seems to me if you want to know what Calvinists believe, you should, one, consult their documents and accurately portray them on your show when the subject comes up. to have the Calvinists that already come on your show, James White, Mike Horton, Kim Riddlebarger, etc., discuss on air some of the differences between Calvinism and Lutheranism. Thanks for the email, Nathan in Lafayette, Indiana.
Yeah, thank you, Nathan. Look, it really comes back to this notion of the limited atonement, which is completely affirmed by the Westminster Confession and the other confessional documents of classical Calvinism. As long as Christ only died for some and not all, you're going to have to ask the question. It's interesting that the Westminster Confession doesn't answer this question or ask it. How do you know that you are elect? How do you know that you are among the some for whom Jesus died and not among the some for whom he didn't? And Calvin is clear on this. Not one drop of blood wasted on the reprobate. Jesus didn't waste a drop of blood on the reprobate. That's Calvin's take on it. So how do you know you're among the elect and not the reprobate? You can't look at the cross, because the answer isn't there if you're a Calvinist, because you don't know whether that blood being shed by Jesus is being shed for you or not. You can't tell by looking at the cross. And as long as it's a limited atonement, you will always be left sooner or later, maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but someday and for the rest of your life, with the question, how do I know that I'm among the some for whom Jesus died and not the some for whom he didn't? So where are you going to look? You can't even look in the Bible, because the Bible doesn't have your name in it. It doesn't say, according to the Calvinist way of reading the Bible, it doesn't say Jesus died for you. It just says Jesus died for some. It leaves you looking the only place you can look, and it's the worst place to look, and that is at your own life, at your own, perhaps your feelings, your good works, your progress in sanctification, or it leaves you completely uncertain, ultimately uncertain. Now, here's the difference. Lutherans teach that Christ's atonement is unlimited, that he actually did die for all, just the way the Bible says. So if you want to know the answer, am I among the elect? The only place you need to look is at the cross, where you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that the blood that Jesus is shedding there is being shed for you, because you're among the all for whom he died. And there's certainty. You don't need to look at yourself. And you don't need to find your name in the Bible. The only name you need to be concerned about in the Bible is the name of Jesus and what he did for you. So it's not so much a matter of trying to figure out what Calvinists believe, but evaluating this, I'll just be honest, I say it with all kindness, this pernicious notion that Jesus didn't die for all, but only for some. What's up next?
Jay writes, I have long enjoyed Issues Etc. for its faithful presentation of confessional Lutheran theology. I signed the online petition to save the show, but I am tired of so many shows that deal with abortion and homosexuality. While there is much that should be said on both topics, your show appears to know only one way. Find a spokesman, Catholic, Mormon, Baptist, Lutheran, whatever, from some right-wing organization to sound the alarm. Watch out for those Democrats. The end of civilization is near. It gets stale. If you must discuss cultural or political matters, expand your base of topics and points of view. Talk about the doctrine of just war, or whether Christians should be up in arms about the fact our country engages in torture, or even whether every sin should be countered with legislation. When you discuss abortion, for example, get various points of view from Christians or even non-Christian opponents of abortion who are not beholden to the Republican Party. What about Nat Hentoff from the Village Voice? A non-Christian yet firmly committed to life, he is consistently anti-war as well as anti-abortion. Get hold of some Democrats in Congress who are pro-life and ask why they can be both anti-abortion and yet belong and not belong to the GOP. Too many American Christians, in my view, are pressured in all kinds of ways that they must be conservative politically in order to remain orthodox theologically. No political party's platform is a creed. Thanks, Jay, for the email.
Well, I don't think we've ever said that any political party's platform is a creed. And I don't know, Jeff, would you count someone like Richard John Neuhaus among the religious right?
Well, I think they put it as one of the most influential evangelicals. But, I mean, no, on the issues of, like, war and things like that, I wouldn't. What about Kristen Day of Democrats for Life, who's a regular guest on the show? Mark Strickert, diehard Democrats, writing the book Why They're Blue. We've had Nat Hentoff. We haven't had him since we've been on the air. That's a great idea from the Village Voice. If you go back to the old KFUO archives, type in Nat Hentoff. He's been on the show.
Oh, yeah. Well, see, for us, it's the issues. It's not the party. I'm frankly fed up with the Republican Party for a number of reasons, not the least of which is the last 8 years. But It's for us, it's the issue. Why, again, we'll answer this question again, because it's a good question. Why do you always talk about these issues like abortion and what's the other one he mentioned?
Homosexuality.
Homosexuality. Because we have a thus saith the Lord, and we don't on which wars are just, and we don't, although we have discussed just war extensively, especially as the beginning of this long drawn out war. We don't have a thus saith the Lord on all those other issues, but we do on the issue of abortion and life, and we do on the issue of marriage. And so we're going to take our stand where we can take our stand most firmly, and where people can disagree, yeah, we will tend to talk more about those issues where we have a thus saith the Lord.
And from a producer standpoint, the news tends to dictate how we do these things. We've talked about just war in the past. Matter of fact, we got Dr. Montgomery scheduled on the 19th of December. However, you're leaving on vacation, so we'll reschedule him. But Dr. Montgomery will be on to talk about just war. We've talked about torture in the past, but it hasn't been in the news much lately. And if you go back and look at the whole record of issues, et cetera, all those issues have been dealt with extensively, just war and torture
Yeah, and I know it doesn't seem like it, but if you went through our list of people with whom we talk about the life issue, you would find probably less than 50% of them are your old-fashioned rock-rib Republicans. Most of them are something else. All right, when we come back, blog of the week and soundbite of the week. Stay tuned.
Now, only our listeners can cancel us. You're listening to Issues Etc.
On behalf of the staff of Issues Etc., thanks to each and every one of the more than 7,600 who signed the online petition to bring back Issues Etc. Mark Harms, C. Fortier, Joshua Kraft, Don Caron, Don Meyer, Laura Swanson, Lisa Sylvester, Camille Shipley, and Chris Imes. Thanks for your support.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
Those born after the dreaded Roe v. Wade Supreme Court decision, which legalized abortion throughout pregnancy, have dubbed themselves abortion survivors. Many of America's youth have taken this title to heart. Pro-life youth organization Stand True Ministries is promoting Abortion Survivor Sunday. On January 18, Sanctity of Life Sunday, they're asking you throughout the nation to get involved in church activities. This can be done by providing a brief comment during services, leading a Sunday school class, or asking the pastor to preach a pro-life sermon. For more details, visit today's broadcast link at lifeissues.org. The goal is to emphasize a third of America's youth are missing in action due to abortion. These survivors don't want you to forget.
Life Issues. Stay informed. More informed than you've ever been.
618-223-8384. It's the new phone number for the Issues Etc. listener comment line. 618-223-8384. Leery about calling a live radio talk show? Want to remain anonymous? Leave your recorded question or comment on the Issues Etc. comment line, 618-223-8384. The good, the bad, the ugly. We're big boys. We can take it. 618-223-8384.